السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
طيب، الحمد لله. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. إن شاء الله we'll get started with the lesson. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering the virtues of Islam by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, رحمه الله عليه. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, فضائل الإسلام, Virtues of Islam, by الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. باب قول الله تعالى: يا أهل الكتاب لم تحاجون في إبراهيم. So this is the title the author رحمه الله تعالى put, which is portion of an ayah. Allah سبحانه وتعالى in سورة آل عمران from 65 to 67 address the people of the book. Ya أهل الكتاب لما تحاجون في إبراهيم وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده أفلا تعقلون. O people of the book, O people of the scripture, why do you argue about Abraham while the Torah and the gospel were not revealed until long after him? Do you not understand? You see, the refutations in the Quran and how Allah refutes and corrects the erroneous opinions is amazing. It is rational, logical. Because the one who responds is the Creator. So the people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians, they are arguing about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And some group of them saying only those who are Jews will enter paradise. The Christians saying no, only those who are Christians will enter paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew their attention to the fact that the Torah and the Injil, the Torah and the Gospel, the Torah for the Jews, which means Torah means the law, like the five books in the Old Testament. And the gospel or the glad news, the Injil, Evangel, was given to Isa, which the Christians now they say it is the New Testament. We Muslims believe in the original Torah that was given to Musa alayhi salam, and we believe in the original gospel that was given to Isa alayhi salam. So Allah is addressing them, telling them, O people of the scripture, and he addressed them with this title, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, you are not a lettered nation like the Arabs. You are lettered people, learned men, yet you are arguing about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, lima tuhajjun fi Ibrahim? Why are you arguing about Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is the father of the prophets? They are his descendants. وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاةُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. The Torah was given to Musa later on. So how you want to ascribe Ibrahim to you that he is upon what you are upon when he preceded you? It doesn't make sense. He preceded you to the former, not the former to the latter. وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل والإنجيل إلا من بعده. After Ibrahim عليه السلام. The Torah was given to Musa alayhi salam on the Mount of Sinai, and the gospel was given to Isa alayhi salam later on. Then Allah told them, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you have intellect, intelligence? Don't you think? Do you not understand? Then the ayat continue. Ha antum ha'ula'i hajajtum fima lakum bihi ilm. Falima tuhajjuna fima laysa lakum bihi ilm. Falima tuhajjuna fima laysa lakum bihi ilm. Wallahu ya'lamu. Here you are, you disputed about what you have little knowledge. You have little of knowledge. But why do you now argue about what you have no knowledge of? Allah knows and you don't know. Let us reflect. So see how Allah reasons with them and argues with them. In the previous ayah, Allah told them, don't you understand that Ibrahim alayhi salam was before Musa and Isa, before the Torah and the Injil? Don't you understand? And you are supposed to know this. And they know that. So then why Why did they argue with each other? It is the hawa. Yes. It is the desire. When you know the truth and yet try to act otherwise. Then Allah says, Ha antum ha'ula. Here you are. Okay? Here you are. Arguing it. Ha antum ha'ula'i hajajtum fima lakum bi'ilm. Here you are. You disputed about what you have. Knowledge. Because you are people of the scriptures and in knowledge, others they don't have. For example, the Arabs and lesser nations. So when they hear the Jews or the Christians say something, they say, they are people of the book, learned men. We don't have any scripture or any book. I mentioned to you the story of Sayyidina Umar when he married a woman from among the Ansar, and he slept with his wife in different position. And there was rumor in Medina, if a man sleeps with his wife in a position different than the normal position, then the child will be cockeyed, will be having problem with his eyes. So this was the rumor in Medina. The Arabs, they got it. So they said, we hear it from our neighbors. So they are people of the scripture, so maybe there's some truth in it. And you know, then the Sayyidina Umar came to the Prophet and he said, Oh Prophet of Allah, I have changed the saddle of my mount, the saddle of my horse. The Prophet understood what he meant. And the Quran came down addressing that issue. نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أن شئتم. Your women are your tillage, so approach your tillage, okay, in whatever position you like, as long as it is in the place of the tillage where a child will live, and that is the proper place. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the people of the scripture, you people, you have knowledge, and yet you are arguing. Though you know and you have the knowledge, so you disputed about what you have little knowledge of. فَلِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِعِلْمٍ. You argued about something you know of, okay, and you were mistaken, and now you are arguing about something you have no clue, you have no knowledge of it. And this is very dangerous when you argue about something you don't know. It's haram from Islamic perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us ولا تقف ما ليس لك بذات which you are not certain of فؤاد. كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. The hearing, the seeing, and the heart, all these faculties will be questioned about what you say. When you do not say, I don't know, don't speculate, it's haram. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, why do you now argue about what you have no knowledge of? And this is the lesson for us when we read the Quran. When you don't know, ask. Don't argue. Ask. Why are you doing this? This is sunnah, akhi. MashaAllah, sunnah. Yes. Can you share with me the evidence? Here it is. Jazakallah khair. Not that you criticize something because you don't know. And it's the first time you see it in your life. Ask. Ask. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure and the remedy for the ignorant is to ask. To ask. This is hadith authentic. The cure for someone who is ignorant is to ask, ask. Because the Prophet ﷺ said this when one of the Sahaba died. He had wounds in his head and he had wet dream. He had wet dream. So he asked the Sahaba with him, I cannot take a shower because there are wounds in my head and this is going to harm me. Can I perform tayammum? They said, no, you have to take shower. So he took shower, he took a bath, and he died. Who killed him? Those who gave the fatwa. They killed him because of their ignorance, their jahl. They killed him because they gave fatwa without ilm, without knowledge. They killed him. So the Prophet, when the news reached him, he said, قَتَلُوهُ قَتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أو قَتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They killed him, may Allah kill them. أَلَا سَأَلُوا حِينَ جَهِلُوا. Why didn't they ask the people of knowledge when they don't have? إِنَّمَا كان شفاء العجز السؤال. The remedy for the ignorant is to ask. Let us learn from this hadith. Ask. You do not ask. Allah tells us, فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. Ask. Sahaba, رضوان الله عليهم, of course, they were disciplined, well disciplined. So when they asked the Prophet, they asked him occasionally, and when there is a chance for them. So someone wants to ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will wait and find a chance and then he will ask. But if a Bedouin comes, Bedouin, Arabi comes, this Arabi, he doesn't know the etiquette, he doesn't know anything. So immediately he will ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Sahaba, they would feel happy. Oh, there is an Arabi today there. He's going to ask and we are going to learn. Benefit. So this Bedouin will immediately ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will answer him. And the Sahaba will benefit and learn. Ha antum ha'ula'i hajajtum fima lakum bihi ilm. Allah is blaming the people of the scriptures. Here you are, you disputed about what you have little knowledge of. But why do you now argue about what you have no knowledge of? You're not supposed to argue something you don't know. Then Allah ended the ayah. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu. And Allah knows you don't know. And this is what we should keep in mind always. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. How many ignorant Muslims they argue and object when they are ignorant, they don't have knowledge. I'm not convinced, this doesn't make sense to me. Subhanallah. Who are you? First of all, know your limits. You are so jahil. You are ignorant. You have this compound ignorance. Jahil murakkab. You don't know that you don't know. This is your problem. And you talk about Islam and arguing and be humble. Come and learn your deen. Learn your deen. And then you can argue if you have ilm. Now you are ignorant. You have no right. You are not authorized. You have no knowledge. Once a man asked Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, "Oh, Sheikh Albani, you may say about this hadith is weak. Why? Why is it weak?" Sheikh Nasr, rahimahullah, ta'ala. The ulama, they know him very well. If you want to debate and argue with him, soon he will put you in the corner. Soon. If you want to know this, listen to some of his debates. So immediately he told the man, "Did you study Mustalah? Do you know Mustalah al-Hadith, Ilm al-Hadith?" He said, "No." Then he said, "Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Study, then come." Which is true, very true. The man doesn't know if he tells him this hadith is weak because of this narrator, and the problem with this narrator is this and this. He doesn't know. He doesn't know anything like that. These things will go above his head. He doesn't know. If you don't know, then you don't ask such question. Subhanallah. Once a man came to him and he's saying, "I know the unseen, I know the ghaib. said there are certain things I kept in my mind. What are they? He said, what are they? What did you keep secret? That was the answer. You say you know the unseen. So you don't know what I had in my mind or in my heart. So you don't know the unseen. Okay? Don't waste my time. Another one came to him and he said, I communicate with the souls of all the dead people. Anyone who passed away, I can call his soul and talk to him. Sheikh Nasser said, you are going to do me a good favor. I want to talk to Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari. Because I have some questions for him to ask. So this is my chance. So bring the soul of Imam Bukhari. He said, Sheikh, this is too difficult for me. I will not be able to bring and come the soul of Imam Bukhari. See? Charlatans. But Sheikh Nasr rahimahullah, he knew how to handle them. He knew how to handle them. And he told this to his students. And they're making this story to you. And you bear with me, I keep digressing, old man, here and there. But we'll come to the point, inshallah. One of his early students, Sheikh Abdurrahman Abdul Samad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he invited some of the Sufis in Hama, in Syria, Mashayikh. And always in their circles and their private meetings, they say, we see Allah and we see the Prophet, everything. Yeah, they see Allah, they see the Prophet, that's okay. So he wanted to teach them a lesson, practical lesson. So he said, I'm inviting you for lunch. They accepted. And I told you before, the famous meal in Syria, Jordan, Palestine, called mansaf, mansaf. The mansaf, it is bread, rice, and meat, and of course, cooked in sour milk. No doubt, delicious meal. And normally they will put the bread, then the rice, then the meat on top, and then they keep pouring the sour milk on top of it. What Sheikh Abdurrahman rahimahullah ta'ala did, he with the bread, the bread, yes, then the meat, then covered with the rice, and he put the platter in front of the mashayikh, and he stepped out. They looked at each other. Where is the meat? But rice only? So he entered again, said, Bismillah, Mashayikh, start. They said, oh, Sheikh Abdurrahman, where is the meat? Where is the meat? He said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, my Mashayikh, you see Allah all the time, and you see the Prophet all the time. Yet you cannot see the meat under the rice? Beneath the rice, you don't see the meat. That was a bombshell for them. Coming to our point. When you don't know, learn. Don't argue. Learn. Wallahu ya'lamu. Wa antum la ta'lamu. Our knowledge is little. This knowledge that Allah gave it to us is nothing, negligible in comparison to Allah's knowledge. We have nothing. We came from our mother's womb knowing nothing. apart from what is embedded in us, the fitrah. And we start to learn. We start to learn. So our knowledge is limited. And the proofs are so many that our knowledge is limited and we don't know everything. And we don't know everything. And we are learning. We make blunders, we make mistakes, and we learn. The human mind learns. The human mind makes mistakes, but then it corrects itself. It gains experience. The first time you saw the mirage in the desert, you thought it was water. But then the mind soon discovered, oh, this is not water. Finish. The second time you see the mirage, no, it is not water. Now you are driving and next to you is your little one. Daddy, daddy, water. I said, no, son, it is not water. It's mirage. Okay? So the human mind learns. Human mind is limited. Look around you. Now, politicians are talking about environment, pollution, global warming. Who caused this? Who caused the global warming? Who caused the pollution? Who destroyed the ecology, the environment? We, the human beings. We thought that we know, then we are now trying to correct the damage that we caused. When the Industrial Revolution started, if you notice that all the factories and refineries and all industrial installations, they will be on the banks of rivers or closer to the shores of the seas, because all the machineries and machines in such factories, they need water, cooling water, to cool the equipment. And after using this water, it will be polluted. They call it effluent. And they dump it and pump it back to the sea or to the river, and polluting the rivers and the seas. Now they discovered, oh, after years and years, now there are strict rules and laws enacted. You cannot discharge the water and send it to the sea or to the river before treating it. They say you have to treat it and remove all the oil particles, and just pure water should go back to the sea. So who caused that pollution? We caused it. Because man, he thinks he knows when he doesn't. Because man by nature is ignorant and arrogant. These two inherent characteristics, ignorance and arrogance. Wallahu ya'lam, antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows, you don't know. So we have to accept the limitation of our knowledge. So when Allah says something, we say we hear and we obey. And Allah knows and we don't know. There's always, when Allah does something, there's wisdom behind it. Allah's acts all are based on His divine wisdom. أحكام الله معللة ولحكمة. There is reason behind it, why he did that, and wisdom behind it. Whether we grasp that wisdom or not, due to the limitation of our understanding, that is our problem. But there is wisdom behind it. Keep this in mind. So whatever happens in the last kingdom, we say, Allah knows and we don't know. Why this is happening to the Muslims? Why Muslims are killed? Why? Allah knows, we don't know. Allah is wise. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. Allah will never wrong anyone. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ And your Lord will never wrong anyone. Allah is adil, just. And He will treat us with justice. On the day of resurrection. Our deeds will be weighed on the accurate balance. Good deeds outweigh your misdeeds, go to Jannah. Misdeeds outweigh your good deeds, go to hell. Equal in the A'raf. That is justice. And we hope on the day of resurrection, Allah will treat us with His forgiveness, with His rahmah. Not to hold us accountable for everything and scrutinize our records. مَن نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابُ عُدِّم. For Allah stops you and through everything in your record, you will be ruined. So what Allah does to the believers is to make them confess. Allahu Akbar. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, this Rabb, you have to love Him. Because He loves you more than your mother. And now He is telling you, you did this. Say, yes, my Rabb. And this, and this. You confess. Then He tells you, I have forgiven you. Go. I have forgiven you. That's Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So you should, don't question Allah's wisdom. And never ever think that this is unfair, what is happening. And attribute it unfairness and injustice to Allah. The whole life, my dear brothers and sisters, is a test. And there are different forms of test. So keep this in mind. Don't respect, tell this little gray matter your mind. Respect yourself. Know your limitation. Allah knows and you don't know. Wallahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Then Allah said, Ma kana Ibrahim Yahudiyan wala Nasraniya. See all these ayat 60. 5 to 67 in Ali Imran. Read them. How the Quran addresses this issue and that dispute that was taken place between Jews and Christians. So Allah says, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian. He submitted in all uprightness, was not a polytheist. Was not a polytheist. So this is Ibrahim. He was neither the Jew, because Moses came later. How come you say Ibrahim was Jew? Neither a Jew nor a Christian, because Christ came later. May peace and blessing be upon all of them. So Allah negated and said, Ma kana Ibrahim Yahudiya wala Nasraniya. Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian. So what was he? Walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. Hanifa. I told you the meaning of Hanaf. The Hanaf means something bent inward. So someone, if his legs are bent and his feet are bent inward, is called Ahnaf. Ahnaf. So the mushriks are going this way. So Ibrahim turned away from the way. So he bent to turn from their way. So now, actually, that turning away from the way of the polytheists, from paganism, idolatry, polytheism, that is indeed uprightness. That is indeed uprightness. Because he did not follow and tread on the same path of polytheism. He turned to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walakin kana hanifan. So he turned away and turned only to Allah. That's why he destroyed all the idols, as you know, and he left the biggest one and placed the axe on its shoulder to force his people to think. And they took revenge and threw him into the fire, and the fire didn't burn him, as you know. Walakin kana hanifan muslima. So he was hanif, submitted to Allah, turned to Allah. Wama kana min al-mushrikeen. And he was not a polytheist. Because some ignorant Muslims, they think Ibrahim was in doubt. Doubt. When he said, the moon, this is my Rabb, the sun, this is my Rabb. If he was worshipping the moon or the sun, that is shirk. And Allah protected his prophets from falling into the mire of associationism or polytheism. So what Ibrahim did there with his people is only for the sake of argument. Oh, you worship the moon. Okay, fine, fine. Because he knows it's going to set, disappear. You see? How God should not disappear. God should keep always monitoring and supervising and overseeing and watching his kingdom. Oh, this is the sun bigger. Oh, the sunset cannot be God. He was just trying to make them think that is for the sake of argument. Not that he was in doubt. Subhanallah. One brother sent me a clip, one of the dua. I will not mention the name. May Allah guide all of us and guide him. He says, I doubt everything. I doubt everything. And then I remove this doubt. This methodology is deviant methodology. Wrong. Satanic methodology. Imam Ghazali tried it. That you doubted, then you cleared the doubts. And René Descartes, the French philosopher and mathematician, he also followed what Ghazali did. In Islam, that's not the case. Islam is the religion of fitrah, nature, this natural disposition. We are hardwired to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet, a Bedouin, comes to him. Oh Muhammad, what is Islam? And tashhad an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah wa iqam as-salah, the pillars of Islam. That's it. And the Bedouin will leave. The Prophet would not ask him. First of all, you have to doubt. To doubt. And then clear all your doubts. Did the Prophet say that? Oh, you doubters? Subhanallah. We are living in a time that the Muslims are confused. And the people they follow, these influencers, PhD holder, doctor, they don't know the mean doctor, witchcraft, actually. Our Islam, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. This book has no doubt whatsoever in it. What is after the haqq illa dhalal? What is after the truth except misguidance? فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال? You hear from Muslims, you know, الحقيقة نسبية, truth is relative, not absolute. We say, shut up. Islam is the haqq. فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال? Don't try to mislead us and misguide the Muslims. Be careful. A man came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah. He said, I want to debate with you. I want to debate with you. He said, and if I won the debate, if I defeat you, said, I will follow you. Said, okay. Then if a third person came and debated with me and he defeated me, what are you going to do? He said, I will follow him. He said, listen to me. You are a doubter and you are living in your doubts. And I'm certain of what I am upon. Okay? So go and look for another doubter like you. Look for another doubter like you. This is the answer Imam Malik gave. So if you come across any one of those doubters, tell them the exact reply of Imam Malik. Look for another doubter. I'm not one of those doubters. You doubt. Doubt what? Doubt the existence of Allah. Afillahi shakkun? Is there doubt about the existence of Allah? First doubt, then prove the existence of Allah. Fitrah, the Bedouin in the desert was asked, how did you know Allah? He said, very simple answer. البعرة تدل على البعير. وآثار الأقدام تدل على المسير، وسماء ذات أبراج، وأرض ذات فجاج، ألا يدلان على اللطيف الخبير؟ He said, in few words, simple language, deep meaning. He said, البعرة تدل على البعير. If there is a dropping of an animal, immediately you will deduce, come to know, an animal passed here. If you see dung of an animal, that dung, that dropping will tell you an animal passed here. It's not science rocket. وأثار الأقدام. You see, this is a Bedouin. Abu Sufyan, when he arrived at the wells of Badr, he knew there was an ambush set for him by the Muslims. How did he know that? He saw wet droppings of the animal, of the horses. So he took one drop, a dropping, crushed it between his fingers, and he found inside the dropping seed of dates. He said, you see, date. Who has dates? Muslims in Medina, because they have date palm trees. So the Muslims are here around us. So he took another route and he managed to rescue the caravan. So this Bedouin is saying, Al-Ba'ra tadullu al-Ba'ir, if you see droppings, that must be a camel passed here. وآثار الأقدام تدل على المسير. If there are footprints, there must be passers. People passed here on this path, on this way. These are their footprints. وسماء ذات أبراج. And this is sky full of constellations and land full of passages. All these signs do not tell you, indicate to you about the existence of Al-Latif, the most subtle and the most knowledgeable, the most aware of all things. This is the rational, convincing answer. And fitri, everyone, it resonates with your nature. You see the dropping, this is called the effect. And you know the law of cause and effect. If there is an effect, there must be cause for it, behind it. Otherwise, this effect will not be there. If there was no animal, there would not be dropping. If there was no human beings passed here, travelers, there would not be footprints. So if there is no creator for all that we see, this cosmos, if it is not there, it will not be there. But since it is there, there must be someone who created all these things. No need for you to doubt. ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض, and they ponder and reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth. ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا. Our Lord, you didn't create this in vain. سبحانك, glory be to you. فقنا عذاب النار. Save us from the fire. So Ibrahim وما كان من المشركين. So never think that Ibrahim was doubting. He was using that technique for the sake of argument with them. Because Allah is saying, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً. Ibrahim by himself is ummah. He himself, by himself is an ummah, nation. Multitude of men, people. ثم كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا، ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما، ما كان من المشركين. So Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian. He submitted in all uprightness. Hanifa, he turned away from the paganism, idolatry, polytheism, and towards monotheism, worshipping Allah. And that is actually the real uprightness. And was not polytheist. Then Allah says, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 130. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And who would reject the faith of Abraham except a fool? We certainly chose him in this life and in the hereafter, and he will surely be among the righteous. So, the way of salvation is to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Millat Ibrahim. Asbahna ala millat al-Islam wa kalimat al-Ikhlas. على دين الإسلام وعلى ملة أبينا إبراهيم حنيفا مسلما. This is the dua you say all the time. ملة إبراهيم. This creed, this way and deen of Ibrahim عليه السلام, which is the توحيد, monotheism. And that is the deen of all the prophets. Monotheism. And remember, the speech two types. Speech al-kalam yanqasimu ila qismayni, ikhbar and insha. So speech two types, two parts. Ikhbar, informing us, and insha, the do's and the don'ts. So the aqidah, the belief, falls under the ikhbar, informing. The Sharia, the law, do's and don'ts fall under insha. No abrogation, no nasr related to the ikhbar. And that makes sense. You don't expect a messenger and prophet to come and say there's Jannah. Another one comes and say, no, there's no Jannah. So that's why all the prophets and messengers of Allah, their aqidah is one, following the footsteps of their father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So when it comes to aqidah, no nasq, no abrogation. Abrogation, nasq, the cancellation of some laws under insha, because the law addresses the issues of the people, problems, their problems, mundane affairs, do's and don'ts, and people's problems they keep increasing. So the law at that particular moment and time, problems were very simple. So the law was addressing these. Then things became complex, complicated. So the law has to now provide solutions and answers. So a new law will come and replace the previous law. And that is called abrogation or nasr. Okay. And finally, the Sharia of Islam. And because it is the final law, no law will come after it. So Allah made it so flexible, embedded in it many mechanisms which will make it able to accommodate and to provide solutions and answers for all the problems of mankind. Okay? So the Aqidah goes under Ikhbar, and all prophets and messengers are Muslims. And their Tawheed is one. قال ما قلت انا والنبيون من قبلي لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وعلى كل شيء قدير. This is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. The best dua I say ever. I and my brothers who preceded me, the prophets who came before me. لا اله الله وحده لا شريك له. There's no deity worthy of worship but Allah. له الملك وله الحمد. All praise are due to him. And kingdom belongs to him. وهو على كل شيء قدير and he is all powerful and able to do all things. All prophets, they said this. And that's why this dua, you keep repeating it on the day of Arafah. And the talbiyah of the Hajj, Ibrahim alayhi salam, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. This is Ibrahim, this is the talbiyah of Ibrahim. That's why the whole pilgrimage, the Hajj, teaching you Tawheed, Tawheed. SubhanAllah, you find Muslims, they come to Mecca and they perform Hajj and they go back and they didn't learn Tawheed from the Hajj, rituals of the Hajj. Shirk! They go back and start, keep practicing the shirk. Practicing the shirk. SubhanAllah. When asked, one of the ulama, I think Sheikh Salih al-Haidar, rahimahullah, he came from an Arab country. And Sheikh Salih al-Haidar, rahimahullah, used to, after Maghrib, around the Haram, the Kaaba, answering the questions. So he asked the question. He said, Sheikh, before I left my country, I performed this number of rounds around the shrine of the Wali, saint, making tawaf, rounds around it, circumambulation. But I didn't finish seven rounds. Can I finish them here around the Kaaba? He's only asking if it is halal, if it is okay to do it here. He didn't know that tawaf is ibadah. Ibadah. Allah says, وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ and let them take circumambulation and circumambulate around the ancient house of Allah. And if you perform seven rounds and pray two rak'ahs behind the maqam of Ibrahim, the reward is equal as if you emancipated a slave. So people, they come and they go back and they didn't learn the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Who's he who will reject the faith and the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam? إِذَا مَنْ سَفِيهَا نَفْسَهُ. Only a fool, foolish person will reject the tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. أَحَدٌ أَحَدٌ. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لا شريك ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا. Allah is talking to about Ibrahim عليه السلام. Most certainly chose him in this life. Istifa. Allah chose him. Selected him. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And Allah will elevate his status in the next life among the pious and the righteous. And in the hereafter, he will surely be among the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us die upon the Tawheed, upon Millat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. See, when we are lowering the body into the grave, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. When you are lowering the body, you say Bismillah in the name of Allah and upon the millat, the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Tawheed. And before we breathe our last, those around us, they remind us to say La ilaha illallah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Man kana akhir kalami la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. He whose last words, speech, were La ilaha illallah, he will be granted admission to the Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقِنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Dictate to your dead La ilaha illallah. And many ignorant people, they misunderstood this hadith. They say, مَوْتَاكُمْ, they thought it is those who are dead. No, those who are dying. Who are dying. We ask them to say La ilaha illallah so that they will leave this world, and the last statements and words came from their mouth is Kalimat al-Tawheed. There is a clip, one brother, may Allah guide him, and this, it is going viral. So please, if you receive, or if you can send messages, do so. He is inviting the people to this bid'ah, that when you lower the body into the grave, someone has to come down and now start telling the deceased, oh, son of so and so, and he will mention his mother's name. Why his mother? They say, we don't know if he's the son of his father, but we are sure he's the son of his mother. Ya fulan ibn fulana, oh, son of so and so, mentioning his mother's name. There are two angels going to come. Don't be scared and frightened. What? The Prophet, when he described these two angels, he said the voices like the thunders, thunder clap. Who are you? So don't be scared, don't be frightened. They will question you. Who's your Lord? Say, my Lord is Allah. Who's your Prophet? My Prophet is Muhammad. What is your religion? My religion is Al-Islam. They call it Talqeen. This is bid'ah, innovation, misguidance. The Prophet ﷺ, he buried many of his family and his companions. He never did something like that. His Sahaba, the same thing. So where did you get that from? Our deen is only taken from the Quran and Sunnah. That's it. Period. Full stop. Don't tell me Mawlana so and so, Sheikh so and so. So who's he? So what? So what? Is he ma'soom? Does he receive revelation from Allah? We follow what Allah said, what the Prophet ﷺ said. Qul hatu burhanakum. In kuntum sadiqeen, may Allah guide this brother, and may Allah guide all the Muslims to the haqq. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah make the last words that come from our mouths. Shahadatan la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasul. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah unite our ummah in the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خيرا، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Ameen wa alaikum assalam. Allah. Sheikh, we've received a few questions. Let me know when you've received the first one.
Just 1 minute, just let me see them. Okay, go ahead, Akhi.
So the topic is the rights of neighbors. A sister has had bad neighbors who have done many bad things, including renting out the part of the sister's property to sell alcohol. The sister reported it to the police, but the neighbors have refused to move. So the first question is it permissible for the sister's family not to talk to the neighbors as it seems to improve their behavior?
Okay, so the neighbors, they rented part of the sister's property to sell alcohol. Okay. If the property belongs to the sister, then she has the right. This is her property. But maybe the contract did not mention this clause in the contract.
Sorry to interrupt, Sheikh. The questioner has said they took it without permission.
Sorry?
They took it without permission.
They took her property without her permission?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
In that case, of course, they are sinful and they are doing something haram. And the question is it permissible for the sisters' family not to talk to the neighbors? Of course, you can't boycott them. You give them nasiha and you ask them to leave doing this haram. But if they don't listen, yes, because they might affect you or influence somebody else. And that's why the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us wa ta'awunu al birri wa taqwa, la ta'awunu al ithmi wal udwan. We should not support them regarding transgression and sinfulness. Only we cooperate regarding righteousness, bir and taqwa and piety. Yes, if they decided to boycott them, there is no harm and they are not sinful. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next question.
Barakallahu feekum. The second part of the question is, the neighbors sent a gift of rice and oil on New Year's. Is it permissible to accept this food considering they are now selling alcohol?
Don't accept it. Or if you accepted it, give it to the poor and those who are in need of it. Because if you normalize the relation with them, that means you approve of what they are doing, or at least you will consider what they are doing fine, right, over time. Be firm, so that when they see that you are boycotting them, they will think about it, inshallah, and quit and leave what they are doing. Same thing, if he invites me, I say, sorry, I will not be accept your invitation because of this and this and this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. So befriend only the the believers, and your food should be only eaten by the righteous, those who are always there coming to your table and invited. I should be the righteous. The righteous. And if someone argued and said the prophet accepted the invitation of the Jew, okay, why would not accept the invitation of this Muslim? Here, the reason I'm refusing the invitation is to improve my brother, is to make him quit sinning. So that's why I am tough on him. I don't want to encourage him to continue doing the haram. So I should not cooperate and help him to continue doing this major sin. So don't use that hadith to justify for yourself mingling and sitting with this Muslim who is totally indulged into the selling of alcohol. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. It's sunnah to read Surah Al-Kahf on both Friday night and the day. And can you explain if there's a hadith which says anyone reads at night shall be a nur that reaches to Makkah, and anyone reads on the day shall be kept his face a nur until the next Friday?
Regarding the hadith that says this nur on his face, and the there's no hadith, as far as I know, says something like this. And if you want me to check for you, just give me where you read it so I can check its authenticity. Regarding Friday, the Surah Al-Kahf, yes, there are a hadith about Surah Al-Kahf reported in the Sahih al-Tarhib wa-Targhib. Al-Targhib wa-Targhib is a book written by Imam al-Mundhiri, and it has some weak hadith. So our Sheikh al-Bani rahimahullah, he checked Al-Targhib wa-Targhib, and he sifted the ahadith and separated them. The authentic ahadith, and the weak ahadith. So the hadith is authentic about Surah Al-Kahf. You can read it on tomorrow is Friday, Friday night or Friday morning. Because in Arabic, we follow the lunar calendar and the day begins with the sunset, not with the sunrise, with the sunset. Next question.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. If a person feeds birds but scatters the food all over the pathway where people walk, and the food, the rice bird food, gets stepped on, is it a sin that the food gets stepped on, and is there no reward for feeding the birds?
I will be rewarded according to his intention, for example. So, but you see, the birds, you can train them. I mean, if they got used that you throw the seeds in this place, in this area, always they will come to that place. So if you are walking, okay, so you see the food, you don't step, you move. But there's no sin because he put the seeds for the birds, not for you, to walk on that place. But you don't throw the seeds on the pathway, on the way of the people. Okay? You throw it in one place and the birds will get used to it. We know this. Okay, we know this when you are having chicken or even animals. They get used. Okay, this is the place of the, and when the moment they see you, they come to that particular area. I hope this is clear to the questioner. He doesn't listen. You just give him piece of advice, and that's it. Next question, please. Can you, okay, what's question number six? Read it again.
The question number six is, can you kindly repeat the two speeches of Ikbar and Insha?
Yeah, the Ikhbar, not Ikbar, Ikhbar, ha, ha, Ikhbar and Insha. So the speech, the Kalam, two types. This is, okay, this terminology, you should get used to it. Ikhbar means informing, Akhbartuka, I tell you, telling. And then Insha, Insha means you do something, do's and don'ts. So we have ikhbar and insha. What falls under the ikhbar? The aqidah, the belief. You believe in the malaika and the angels, the pillars of iman, the hereafter, the resurrection, all these things. They fall under ikhbar, aqidah. Sharia, halal, haram, do, don't, because that is the meaning of sharia, which is Insha, something you are requested and you are asked to do something or leave something. So the Sharia falls under the Insha, the Aqidah falls under the Ikhbar. Abrogation or Nasr is applied to the Insha, not to the Ikhbar. So when it comes to the Aqidah, no abrogation whatsoever. Because all the belief of all the prophets and messengers is the same. That's what the Prophet said. Al-Anbiya, Ikhwatul L'Illat, Deenahum Wahad wa Ummahatuhum Shatta. The prophets are brothers from different mothers. Their deen is one, but their mothers are different. And the mothers here, metaphorically, the Sharia, the laws. The Sharia, the laws of the prophets, different. But the deen, the Aqidah, is one. Is one. So, when you come across some issues of belief, then they are under the Ikhbar and there will not be any abrogation. Abrogation. If it is related to the Sharia, for example, it was permissible in the law of Suleiman to have idols, and this is obligated for the Muslims. It was permissible in the Sharia of Yusuf to prostrate as a sign of greeting. This is abrogated in the Sharia of Islam. It is permissible in the Sharia of Suleiman to have images. Okay? All these things. So the abrogation happens to the Sharia, but not in the Aqidah. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. On the next question, to maintain cleanliness, is it permissible for a mother to remove the unwanted hair of her teenage daughter with special needs in places of her awrah? Barakallahu feek.
No, you don't do that. Because normally the hair grows, the pubic hair. This is one of the signs of puberty. How do you know that the child now reaches the age of puberty by having that hair, the pubic hair, the growth of the pubic hair? So now what mothers should do, teach their children, teach your daughters, fathers, you teach your son. Son, this is what will happen to you. You will have hair on your the pubic hair. You should not leave it more than 40 days. You need to shave it. Okay. And this is the shaver. It will not cut you and save. Okay. The same thing to your daughter. The same thing, the armpit, you pluck it. You don't shave the armpit, you pluck it. That's the sunnah. But if you cannot withstand the pain, then you can shave it. But you don't put your daughter in front of you and you remove the pubic hair. No. And that is a sensitive area. And you are going to trigger her sexual drive. And it is haram for you to look at the private part of your daughter. Okay? Subhanallah, women now, Muslim women, they go to the beauticians. Okay? And they remove this hair, hardly normal. And the beauticians, they don't mind. And maybe there are cameras all over the place. Okay? They remove every hair. And they say in the ads, removing all hairs, all types of hair. No. Sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah. Next.
Sheikh, just to clarify, this is in the case if the child cannot do so, if they have special needs. Is it still the same case?
Okay, here, if the child is unable, in that case, this is necessity. This is necessity, and wear gloves and don't look. Don't look. Because the person, let's say, paralyzed or whatever need. This is necessity, darura. But a child who's normal, you don't do it. But someone who's unable, he needs help, that's necessity. Just like you can give wudu to him or to her. The same thing. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next question.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. I heard something yesterday that it is sunnah to fast on the 27th of Rajab. The clip mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do it, but the shaykh encouraged it. Please clarify.
The contradiction is in the question itself. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. But the shuyukh encourages it. My question to the questioner. Allah commanded you to follow the Prophet or the shuyukh? In the Quran, what did Allah say? وَمَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you, abstain from it. The Prophet, he didn't give you this. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever invent or innovate or add in our matter what is not of it will be rejected. Did the Prophet ﷺ fast? No. Did his Sahaba? No. So, why are you following other than your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why? Oh, shuyukh. So what? See, this shaykh or shuyukh, are they ma'soom? Are they infallible? يسي ده علماء ده يسعي ده علماء ده يسعي علماء ده يسعي كلام العالم. How many times I told you that كلام العالم يستدل له لا به. A saying of a scholar is not an evidence in itself. It is rather in need of an evidence. If a scholar says something, we look, is there an evidence to support what he said from the Kitab and Sunnah? No evidence, with all due respect. We say, sorry. We don't. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Say, if you love Allah, follow me and Allah will love you if you believe in Allah. So if you love Allah, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, He created us to worship Him and to worship Him on His terms, not in our terms. And He sent for us the role model, the Prophet. And He wants us to worship Him as our His Prophet worshipped Him. We just walk behind the footsteps of our Prophet Muhammad. That's it. What He did, we do. What He didn't, we leave. And remember the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of four times the sunnah. Four types of the sunnah. Sunnah qawliyah, his sayings. Sunnah fi'liyah, his actions. Sunnah taqririyah, his approvals. Sunnah tarkiyah, which means the things he didn't do in spite of the need. He didn't do. He didn't make adhan for the Eid. So he left the adhan. So the sunnah, to leave the adhan for the Eid. If someone makes adhan for the Eid, this is bid'ah. He didn't make adhan for the eclipse prayer, lunar or solar. So the sunnah, no adhan for the eclipse prayer. You leave it. So there are four types of the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't do this. The ulama, we respect them, but we don't follow them blindly. The reason we follow the ulama, because the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya. The scholars are the heirs, the inheritors of the prophets. So what did the prophet and the prophets leave behind? Not money, knowledge, ilm. So that's why the scholar you follow, because he got the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ. So as long as what he is doing based on what the Prophet ﷺ said, you follow. But if it is just his own ijtihad or understanding, you don't follow him. You don't follow him. Keep this in mind. That's why Imam Malik said, كل يؤخذ من قوله ويترك إلا صاحب هذا القبر صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anyone's saying, statements can be accepted or rejected depending how close this statement is to the proof, to the evidence. Except the one who is there in that grave. He pointed towards the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's very simple. Our deen is so simple. Next question, please.
Barakallahu fikum. The next question. I am a local imam in our village, leading old men who built this masjid a long time ago. In front of the masjid, there are graves, and asking them to remove this grave would cause more fitna amongst them as a division. Please, could you advise?
Now, if the graves are outside, okay, not inside the masjid, and not in front of the masjid, just be patient with them, educate them, and inshallah, over time, when they know the Tawheed, they will remove the graves. Okay. But if the graves inside or in front of the masjid, then I will not advise you to pray in such a masjid. I hope this is clear to you. So educate them. They have to know the Tawheed. Little by little. Take it gradual with them. If you start attacking them and say, you are Wahhabi kafir, go, we'll find another one. So be smart and intelligent. Because they are ignorant. They don't know. They don't know. See, the Prophet ﷺ was praying in the Haram, surrounded by 360 idols. When he removed the idols, after he removed them from the hearts of the people. So we need to work and explain to them the Tawheed in a very simple way. Allah said, the Prophet said, that's it. Get Kitab al-Tawheed, memorize it, and don't say bin Baz, Albani, bin Uthaymeen. These are Wahhabis to them. Say, Allah said this. The Prophet ﷺ said this. Imam Abu Hanifa said this. Imam Shafi'i said this. Imam Malik said this. So no one can attack you. I hope this is clear to you, Akhi. May Allah grant you hikmah and may Allah guide all the Muslims. Ameen. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. This was the last question. With that said, I will hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless all of you, my dear brothers and sisters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for your patience and attendance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in our coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum.